This is Debbie Marcoux, the Mortgage Mom. Well, I've had a lot of questions lately. What can I do to bring my monthly payment down until interest rates get better? Well, if you are a buyer and you're out looking at homes, what you want to focus on is a program called a 2-1 buy down. So for example, if the interest rate today, market rate was at 7%, your first year, your rate would be 5%, your second year, 6%, and your remaining 3 through years 30 would be at that 7%. Well, what is the goal of that program? It is to gap the bridge now until interest rates come down and you can refinance that payment into a lower overall monthly payment for the remaining 30 years. It's a great way to enter the market today knowing that rate cuts are just around the corner. So remember that program name. It's the 2-1 buy down. Go to our website, mortgagemomradio.com, or give me a call to get more details. It's 844-935-3634. That's 844. We lend for you. WELEND and the number 4.
Debbie Marcoux is licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS ID 237926. Also licensed in Arizona 0941504, Florida L076508, Georgia 69178, Idaho MLO 2080237926, Illinois 031.0058339, Missouri, North Carolina I210940, Nevada 57237, Oregon, Tennessee 184373, Texas, Washington MLO 237926.
She's the mortgage mom. She can get things done when you're in need and don't know where to go. Pick up the phone and call mom.
All right, so welcome to Mortgage Mom Radio. I'm Debbie Marcoux. I am the Mortgage Mom, and we are going to be talking today all about that Fed decision that happened just an hour or two ago. Are they increasing rates? Did they say they were going to leave them the same? Did they say that they would bring them up? So I am here to help you guys to interpret, you know, everything that took place today with the Federal Reserve meeting and what they actually said. And why is this important? Well, it's important for you to have a touch on what is going to happen in the market throughout the coming rest of this year and into next year. They have had a meeting every 6 weeks. They will have another meeting in 6 more weeks. And so we are going to talk about what is happening. At every single one of these meetings, they do talk a little bit different. There was big hopes on a lot of people's minds that we were going to start seeing first rate cuts come in March of this year. And then there were big hopes that possibility of maybe a rate cut today. And, you know, now it's kind of looking like it's probably going to be end of year, which is what I've actually been saying for about the last 18 months. So we are going to dive into that. I am going to read to you the statement from the Fed. It does take me a little bit of time to get through that, and it can be a little bit boring. So I'm not going to actually read the entire statement. I'm going to read to you the pieces of what I took from their statement today that I felt were very important. And then I'm also then going to talk about why are they important and how is that going to change things moving forward and what can we be counting on. So this is what this show is all about. It's all interactive. I love that you guys are on and you are watching and you are part of the show. I want you to ask questions. I want you to put those into the feed. So type them right into the chat. I can see that Joe Vera jumps on and says, howdy. And my dad, as usual, my biggest fan is here and he says, hi. But again, remember that this is interactive. I want you guys to ask those questions and I want to be able to explain to you what is going on so that it's something that you do understand, because reading this entire statement from the Fed can be a little bit overwhelming. But if somebody can talk to you in normal terms, it can absolutely make the biggest difference in how you're feeling. What are you spending? Is right now the time to buy? Should you be holding? What exactly are the plans that you should be executing more moving forward for you and your family? So let's just jump right into it. I am going to read the first couple of paragraphs, and then we are going to jump into some of the really important pieces of this announcement today. And I'm going to talk about many of the questions that were asked during his conference after he made his statement. Then obviously he does his conference and Bloomberg and Reuters and all of the different Washington, the Washington Post, they're all there and they're all asking the financial questions. So I'm going to talk talk about that news conference as well. And then, of course, it's what I took of it. So what was my interpretation of what I saw today? So really good stuff. And again, please feel free to put those questions into the feed. I am happy to read them out loud and answer them for you. So we're going to start off with Chair Powell. He says, good afternoon. My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. The economy has made considerable progress towards our dual mandate objectives. Inflation has eased substantially over the past year, while the labor market has remained strong, and that's very good news. But inflation is still too high. Further progress in bringing it down is not assured. So, right? We got to think about that one. And the path forward is uncertain. We're going to talk about that. We are fully committed to returning inflation to our 2% goal. Restoring price stability is essential to achieve a sustainably strong labor market that benefits all. So what were the two things that I said were that was really important that we talk about? So inflation has eased substantially over the past year, while the labor market has remained strong, and that's very good news. So that's great, right? But inflation is still too high. Further progress in bringing it down is not assured. So I've talked about this on recent shows when the inflation reports have come out, and I've said, they came out worse. We're going the wrong direction. You guys need to stop spending money, right? So we're gonna get into this. But we are fully committed to returning inflation to 2%. So he's saying we're not gonna change any policy at all. We're gonna leave it as is until we get where we need to go. So second paragraph, today the FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings through a slower pace. Our restrictive stance of monetary policy has been putting downward pressure on economic activity and inflation, and the risks to achieving our employment and inflation goals have moved toward better balance over the past year. However, in recent months, inflation has shown a lack of further progress toward our 2% objective, and we remain highly attentive to inflation risks. I will have more to say about monetary policy after briefly reviewing economic developments. So again, it's exactly what we talked about just a couple of weeks back with that most recent inflation report. We kind of stumbled. Last two inflation reports, we've gone the wrong direction. We've actually gotten worse rather than continuing to come down. So they're saying we're going to go ahead and we're going to hold the rate steady. We're not increasing today. We're not decreasing today. We're going to hold it steady because our long-term goal is to get to that 2% mark. Now, there is a piece that I want to read to you. I'm going to kind of jump over a few sections because, again, as I mentioned, it's going to get really, really boring if I just keep reading this entire statement to you. But here is the underlying piece that I saw. Consumer spending has been robust over the past several quarters, even as interest rates have weighed on housing and equipment investment. Improving supply conditions have supported resilient demand and the strong performance of the U.S. economy over the past year. So once again, as I talked about a couple of episodes ago when we were talking about the inflation report and how it came up elevated, I said, if we all want to come together to try to get this inflation under control, to get them to start cutting interest rates, to start feeling a relief, you know, have them bring that pressure off of us, the thing that we need to do is we need to stop spending. And he's saying it right here in his statement that the consumer spending is still strong. So even though you're feeling it, one of the things in the press conference that they talked about was, you know, the Americans are talking about the economy. They're saying that things are really hard. Do you feel that that's, you know, that the pressure is there? They're living paycheck to paycheck. Does any of that invoke you to lower the interest rates to make their cost of living easier? And the bottom line answer to that, again, my interpretation of what I heard was, we understand that there's pain. We understand that it is there, but we have to do what we have to do to get that inflation to come down. Because if we don't bring the inflation down and inflation continues to rise, things just get even more expensive. And then we're in that same exact boat. We're never getting out of it. Things just keep getting more expensive. We keep living further and further and further on check to check to check. So we need to see the economy cool. How does the economy cool? People stop spending. When people stop spending, prices of goods and services start to come down. So think about it as a retail store. Your retail store, you've got a bunch of people coming in to buy your goods, and you don't really need to run a sale because they're there and they're buying it and it's no big deal. You're making great profits. You're just going to continue to do what you do. Now, things slow down. People stop walking through the door. What do? You run a sale. You cut the cost of the item that people are coming in to buy. And that gets more people through the door for you to actually turn some sort of a profit, although it is not as big of a profit. So really what we all need to do is we need to cool our spending. We need enough people in the economy to cool their spending so that that ripple effect starts to be felt throughout. Now, some of the really good stuff that I did read in this, so I am actually excited about today's statement and today's press conference that I watched, is we saw our first indicating factor that I believe is showing us that we are getting close. And again, many of the, you know, the people that are there from the different news outlets that were asking the questions kept saying, do you still think that we're going to see 3 rate cuts this year? Do you think that you could increase interest rates this year? Do you think that we're not going to see any interest rate cuts this year? And they were all just jamming him and asking him, you know, over and over again, give us an answer, give us an answer. And he truly wouldn't give any kind of an answer. Now, previous meetings, he had actually said over and over again, we expect to cut at least 3 times in 2024. Now, as of today, he would not give an answer. He didn't say they wouldn't cut. He didn't say they wouldn't cut 3 times. And he didn't say that they were going to cut at all. What he kept saying was the data. The data is so important. We have to continue to watch the data. So depending on what we see, we're going to make a decision based on the data at every single meeting moving forward. So that means to me that they are starting to look very, very closely at that data, and they do want to pull that trigger, but they are just waiting for the right time. Because of course, if they cut interest rates too soon and it wasn't that they held them long enough, they weren't restrictive enough, then we are going to very quickly fall right back into the same situation that we were just in, you know, 18 months ago. So they want to make sure that they are looking at the data and they will not answer that question. So what did I take from this that was positive? Okay, so here we go. And it says, this is one thing that is really important for you guys to understand. So turning to our balance sheet, the committee decided at today's meeting to slow the pace of decline in our securities holdings, consistent with the plans we released previously. Specifically, the cap on Treasury redemptions will be lowered from the current $60 billion per month to $25 billion per month as of June 1st. So this was very exciting to me, and I'll explain why, but I'm going to keep reading this part. Consistent with the committee's intention to hold primarily Treasury securities in the longer run, we are leaving the cap on agency securities unchanged per month, and we will reinvest any proceeds in excess of this cap in Treasury securities, with principal payments on agency securities currently running at about $15 billion per month. Total portfolio runoff will amount to roughly $40 billion per month. The decision to slow the pace of runoff does not mean that our balance sheet will ultimately shrink by less than it would otherwise, but rather allows us to approach its ultimate level more gradually. In particular, slowing the pace of runoff will help ensure a smooth transition, reducing the possibility that money markets experience stress and thereby facilitating the ongoing decline in our securities holdings that are consistent with reaching the appropriate level of ample reserves. So what I liked about this, and I know all of that can very much sound like wah, 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 but one thing to keep in mind when I talk to you guys about interest rates and what moves interest rates? What shakes it? And we're talking about mortgage interest rates right now. And I've said it numerous times that mortgage interest rates change based on what is happening in the market. What has been announced, like today's meeting, inflation reports that come out, all of those things change mortgage because people are buying and selling mortgage-backed securities, treasuries, etc. So every single time since they started to raise these interest rates, the Federal Reserve, they have started to sell more and more and more treasuries off of their balance sheets. Treasuries are, in essence, part of what drives our mortgage interest rates. So the fact that they are reducing the amount of treasuries that they are going to sell per month is going to help start to bring things down. The market already today, from today's Fed meeting, from the statement, from the press conference, has already started to react, and we're already starting to see interest rates improve for today's rate sheet, and tomorrow's rate sheet will be better. So we're starting to see them ease off a little bit. They're concerned about, you know, selling off too much. They're willing to take any excess runoff and put it back into that treasuries market. So this is a really good indicator that we are getting close. We're getting to a point where they can't push us too much further, or we're going to see, you know, some major decline in economy. They don't want to do that. They want to keep everything stable and they want to keep everything secure, but they do want to push us really hard to get the economy to cool down. They need to get that spending slowed down. So it was a very good press conference today. It was a very good statement that they came out with. I am not shocked at all that we are holding the interest rate the same, that we are going to stay higher for longer. They have been saying that over and over again. I have been saying that I didn't believe that we were going to see rate cuts come March, or that we were going to see interest rates cut by May. I truly, the mortgage mom, my opinion, I don't think we are going to see those rate cuts until last quarter of this year. I still truly hold firm to that. I do believe that we will see that come. I know that we can all come together and start to reduce and slow the spending that we are doing. I know that that can very, very quickly and very fast make a ripple effect throughout the economy if there are enough people that listen to that information and actually, you know, put action to it and try their very best to help in that direction. I do think that we are going to see at the next inflation report, I hope that it stays exactly the same instead of increasing like it did the last two. And I actually think we might actually see a little bit of a decline. Now, this is my expectation. This is my this is what I'm telling you. I expect that by no means is what others expect. That is by no means the opinion that you might get from someone else in the same sector talking about the same things. But this is what I do think. So I'm going to take a super quick break. I can see that Heather did jump on and said, hi, everyone. Why not did jump on and said, good afternoon, Debbie, friends and all. So thank you guys again all for being here. I want to remind you guys, this is interactive. So if I've said something that doesn't make sense, stop me. Ask me your question. I will read it out loud. I will answer it for you. And I am going to talk a little bit about what does this mean with, you know, slowing down? What do I think we are going to see moving forward? And what is that going to mean for the market? So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Debbie Marcoux, the Mortgage Mom. Well, I've had a lot of questions lately. What can I do to bring my monthly payment down until interest rates get better? Well, if you are a buyer and you're out looking at homes, what you want to focus on is a program called a 2-1 buy down. So for example, if the interest rate today, market rate was at 7%, your first year, your rate would be 5%, your second year, 6%, and your remaining 3 through years 30 would be at that 7%. Well, what is the goal of that program? It is to gap the bridge now until interest rates come down and you can refinance that payment into a lower overall monthly payment for the remaining 30 years. It's a great way to enter the market today knowing that rate cuts are just around the corner. So remember that program name. It's the 2-1 buy down. Go to our website, mortgagemomradio.com, or give me a call to get more details. It's 844-935-3634. That's 844-WE-LEND-FOR-YOU. WELEND and the number 4. Okay, so welcome back. It was just a quick 60-second commercial just to give me a minute to grab some water. So what do I think is going to happen from what I saw, I read, I watched, right? I do think that we are going to still see those cuts at the end of this year. That would be my best opinion that I can give you. When do I think we're going to see that again? Like I mentioned, I think it's going to be last quarter of 2024. It could be as late as December. But I do think it is going to start this year. I think we're already starting them to back off just a little tiny bit of that restrictive policy as far as the selling of those treasuries. I think that maybe at the next meeting, we might see them back off just a little bit more, or maybe give a little bit better indicator from all of the different things that will come out. Again, inflation reports and such between now and the next 6 weeks. I think they might actually go back to saying when they plan to make that first rate cut. And I do think that we are going to see a nice pickup in mortgage applications, because I think that today's press conference will help start to drive interest rates down just a little bit, enough that it will get people getting excited and ready. So I think that we are going to see mortgage applications uptick over the next 4 to 6 weeks. I think that we're going to see more transactions, more purchase transactions start to go into escrow. I think that we're going to see a little bit more homes come to market as far as for sale. So I think that we are at a turning point right now, although they haven't actually come out and said that we're here, right? And they're never going to actually make that announcement. You're never going to get that announcement of, hey, by the way, I'm waving the flag. Get going. It's time now. We've decided we're going to start changing things. They're never going to do that. We have to read between the lines, and we have to interpret things the way that we interpret them. And we have to come to our own decision in when is the timing right to do things. But I do think that we're going to start to see things pick up from here. I do hope that we see inflation come down. I do hope that we start seeing more people come together collectively, because obviously we all want to see the interest rates on our credit cards go down. We all want to see interest rates on mortgages come down to make things more affordable. We all want to see those car loans start to get less expensive. So I do think that we're at that tipping point, and I do believe that at the next meeting that we're going to start to get a little bit more solid indicator of when to expect things. So if you have been thinking about purchasing a home, but you've had, you know, those plans on hold, if you've been thinking about selling your home, but you've had those plans on hold, I am not here to tell you that you need to jump in 2 feet right now today and, you know, start working on getting that done. But I am going to tell you to start getting yourself in order, get yourself in check. If you want to sell that home, make sure that you are starting to clean it up, that you are starting to box things up, you are starting to declutter, that you are starting to put things away. Because remember, sellers, if you need to sell a home before you go buy another home and you wait until the market is hot again and interest rates have come all the way down to where you want them to be, then you are also going to be battling the massive array of other buyers who are also trying to buy at the same time. And now you've got a home to sell, but you are a contingent buyer. And so that is one thing that a lot of sellers forget to think about, is if I'm a seller and I've got multiple offers on my property, and one of the offers is contingent, which means that they want to buy my house, but their house needs to sell first, or I have another offer that is there that is not contingent, I am most likely going to go with that not contingent offer, because I don't have to worry that the person that wants to buy my house, that their buyer is going to somehow disrupt the transaction. So it puts you at a bigger disadvantage than somebody that doesn't have a contingency. Now, buyers, if you want to wait until interest rates come all the way down to where you feel that they need to be to make things more affordable, number one, there's already going to be more activity in the market, which means that prices will be higher. So you're going to pay more for a home, even though you're going to pay less in the interest rate ultimately making that monthly payment probably pretty similar. So you don't want to wait too long. Now, the other thing too is that in that same scenario where activity starts to pick up and it starts to get busier and you've got multiple offers on a single property that is for sale, you've got the one guy that's trying to buy, but his home is not sold yet. He's contingent. You've got another buyer that says, hey, I'm not contingent. I'm willing to come in and I'm willing to buy your home. I have nothing to sell. Then you've got the other class that comes in and says, I'm going to pay cash for the property. And again, in that situation, as the seller of the home that is available for those three buyers, I'm probably going to go with the all cash offer because there's no loans to worry about. There's no qualifying. There's no appraisal to be, worried about. None of that comes into play with that cash buyer. So buyers, it starts to get more difficult for you to get an offer accepted when you're in that scenario where there are more people on the street trying to buy a home and all going after and bidding on the same home. So don't wait too long. I'm not here again to be preaching at you guys about what your timing should be. I'm here to deliver the information in an educational way for you to make the best decisions for you and your family. And what I can tell you from what I've been watching and from today's press release and from watching, all of the questions that came through is that it really truly does look like we're starting to get to that tipping point. And although they didn't like the inflation going the wrong direction in the last two inflation reports, they did not increase the rate, which means that they do feel that the interest rate that they have it at is sufficiently restrictive. And I do believe that they are starting to see some other reports that they're not talking about, which is the only reason why they would back off on how many treasuries that they are going to start selling as of June 1st. We don't back off on something if we're not concerned about the turmoil that it might cause if we keep doing it. So I do think we're starting to get to a tipping point. I think that everybody can come together collectively and can work together to make sure that we are not spending money on anything that we don't need to. So definitely reduce what you're doing. Don't buy it unless you need it. Unless you need it, do not buy it. So every time that you go to pull something out of your wallet and type in those numbers from your credit card, think about it once. Do I truly need this? If you need it, you need it. There's nothing that we can do to stop that. We obviously all need gas for our car. We all need food. We all got to pay our utilities, right? But if it's not something that you need, don't do it. Don't spend it. You have no idea how far that is going to go and how quickly that could help us turn this around. So instead of maybe waiting until December, we might see a rate cut come in September if everybody got together and did it collectively. I don't see any questions for today, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this show. I hope that I did help you guys understand what did take place today. My door is always open. You guys are always welcome to send me emails, ask me questions, even outside of the show. It's very, very simple to get to me. Go to my website, go to mortgagemomradio.com, subscribe to my channel so you guys know when I go live, get the text update so that you know when I go live if that's easier. Text the word live, L-I-V-E, to 844-935-3634. That's 844, we lend for you. W-E-L-E-N-D. And the number 4. And remember, that is the same phone number to call my office. So if you want to talk to me, give me a call. More than happy to chat. I hope you guys all have a fantastic rest of your day. I can see that Diego did jump on and said hi. So Diego, thank you so much for joining today. And I hope I did bring you guys some great education. And I'll be back next week to do it all over again. Talk to y'all real soon. Bye-bye.
Debbie Marcoux is licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS ID 237926. Also licensed in Arizona 0941504, Florida LO76508, Georgia 69178, Idaho MLO 2080237926, Illinois 031.0058339, Missouri, North Carolina I210940, Nevada 57237, Oregon, Tennessee 184373, Texas, Washington MLO 237926.
She's a mortgage mom. She can get things done when you're in need and don't know where to go. Pick up the phone and call mom.